वर्स नंबर 26, सद्भावे साधु भावे च सदित्येतत् प्रयुज्यते प्रशस्ते कर्मणि तथा सच्छब्दः पार्थ युज्यते। सो पार्थ अर्जुन इन द लास्ट सेक्शन ही सेज व्हेन इज दिस सत् शब्द यूज्ड, युज्यते मींस व्हेन इट इज यूज्ड। कृष्णा सेज व्हेन इज सत् यूज्ड, ही सेज व्हाट डज सत् रिप्रेजेंट। वी रिमेंबर वी सेड ओम तत् एंड सत्, सो व्हाट डज सत् रिप्रेजेंट। सद्भावे साधु भावे च, सद्भावे मींस द रियालिटी, द इजनेस, इट इज, दैट इज सत्, इट एग्जिस्ट। एनीथिंग दैट एग्जिस्ट इज बिकॉज ऑफ सत्, इट इज सत् विच इज द एग्जिस्टेंस। एंड वॉट इज साधु भावे, साधु भावे मीन्स द साधु, द सेंट्स और द प्रॉफिट्स और द वाइज पीपल। सो एतत् प्रयुज्यते, सो वेन वी से सत् वी मीन टू थिंग्स, ईदर द रियालिटी or the people who are truthful, satya. You know, Gandhiji was a very firm, if you look at his life, he basically took two values, ahimsa and satyam, and with that he practiced his whole life. So sat represents reality, truth, existence, and good people. And what is the third thing? Prashaste karmani, and auspicious acts. Prashaste means prashansa, that which should be praised. So praiseworthy acts are the three places which sat represents. So sat represents reality, sat represents sadhus, and sat represents praiseworthy or auspicious acts. So we can spend a couple of minutes talking about what is isness. Is, you know, isness is an unusual word. Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda uses it a lot, so I thought I would put it there. Let's see if this pointer works. So this isness, the reality. So what do you mean by isness? They say, you know, in science they say matter is indestructible. Matter cannot be destroyed or created. You know, those of you who have studied science. And same way, energy cannot be destroyed or created, can be transformed. So what do we mean by that? Say, suppose you have a mud pot and the pot falls and breaks. So the pot is, right? The pot exists. Now, suppose it breaks into 100 small pieces. The isness of the pot is not gone. It is just changed. Instead of mud pot, it now became pieces of mud, pieces of clay. So the isness of the pot now becomes the isness of the pieces. Then you say, I want to get rid of them. So you crush it, all the pieces, and make it into a powder. Is the isness gone away? The matter is not destroyed. Matter has just been transformed. From pot, it became pieces. From pieces, it became mud. It became crushed. And then you throw it in the air, disperse it. You may have dispersed it. You cannot see it, but the isness you have not destroyed. You have not destroyed the substance. What is the touch of divinity which cannot be destroyed, which exists. Like, another example is a tree. Now there is a tree and, you know, you want to make lumber, you know, there is lumber yards where they cut trees every day for lumber. So you take a huge tree and you cut it. So now there is a tree trunk. So, and all the branches are cut away. All is left is the trunk, which you're going to make into wood. So you may have destroyed the tree, but the isness is still there in the trunk, right? You have not destroyed the isness. The trunk is. First the tree is, now the tree trunk is. Then you take the trunk and chop it up into planks of wood, and then you ship it from Oregon, you ship it to California and or to maybe to wherever they make furniture, you know, on the East Coast or in Louisiana and all, they make furniture. So the planks are shipped from Oregon, where the lumber is grown, and shipped there. So the tree is still there. The tree became the lumber. Lumber became the planks of wood. So the isness is not destroyed. Now the lumber goes to there and they make tables. And then they ship it to California. Now you have a table in your house. What is the table? Table is that tree. Tree is, then tree, the trunk is, the trunk, the planks are, and the table is. So the table is there. Now the table gets old. And now you don't need it anymore. So you smash it with the axe. And then you make it into firewood. And you burn it in your fire. The ashes are still there. You may have the water has evaporated from that table, but the ashes, the isness still remains. So you cannot destroy that. Matter cannot be destroyed. It can be only transformed. So that touch of divinity which is, which exists, that existence is Brahman. And so it's not that Tat Sat and Om Tat Sat are three different ways of looking at that one reality. It's not that one is superior and one is inferior. All three are three different ways of looking at. Like, you know, a lady, you know, she may be a housewife at home and then she goes to work and she's a manager in her company. And then she, after she's done working in the afternoon, she goes to the tennis court and she's playing tennis. So she may be playing three different roles as a housewife, as a manager, as a tennis player, but that one alone is playing the three roles. It's not any, the person is not changing. So similarly, Om Tat Sat are the three names of the Lord. And this is described very beautifully by Raman Maharishi in Sat Darshanam. It's a little advanced text, but we do have it in our mission. And we have studied that. And in Sat Darshanam, Raman Maharishi very beautifully says, the first verse is the most powerful. He says, Sat Pratyaya Kimnu Vihaya Santam Hriddeshe Chinta Rahito Hridakhyaha Katam Smaramas Tamameyam Ekam Tasya Smriti Tatra Dridhaiva Nishthaha. He says, Sat is Hriddeshe, it is in the heart. Heart again does not mean the pumping heart, but in the core of my personality, the Lord resides as Sat. And it is Chinta Rahito. Chinta doesn't mean worry. Here Chinta means thinking. Chintate means thinking. In Sanskrit, Chinta doesn't mean worry. In Hindi, when you say Chinta or in Gujarati and all, it means worry. But in Sanskrit, it means thinking. So when the mind is not thinking, Chinta Rahito, when the mind is quiet, then in that silence, you experience the Lord within. Katham smaram, how can I remember that Lord? He says, I want to, because he starts this book by this first verse and he's remembering the Lord. He says, how can you remember the Lord? Because to remember the Lord, you need a thought. Like if I say, okay, think of Krishna, you know, immediately a thought comes, you know, playing the flute. Think of Shiva, you think of him in meditation. Think of Jesus, you see him on the cross. So God cannot be thought of except by a thought, right? But he says, for me to think, I have to exist. If I am not existing, how will I think? So he says, tatra tasya smriti tatra dridhaiva nishtha. So think of yourself as existence. Do not think of yourself as the BMI. Think of yourself as Om or Tat or Sat, the existence. I am existence. I am existing, and even when this body, mind, and intellect perishes, I will continue to exist. So that understanding is the essence of that book, Sat Darshanam. It's an advanced text. If you are interested, you can buy it in the office. So Sad Bhave. So everybody is clear about existence, right? Isness. You have to remember that. Then the next Krishna says Sadhu Bhave. Now why is Sadhu? How does Sadhu represent existence? If you look at the history of India, you know, the history of the Hindu India, you will find that in the south there are huge, beautiful temples, huge temples. And in the north there are not that many, you know, and all are, and why is that? Because the north bore the brunt of all the invasions. See, the Muslims and everybody came from the northwest and they attacked the north, whole of North India they conquered. And the first thing they would do is destroy the temples. They just totally destroyed the temples and created mosques. You know, that's why in that Ayodhya Bhumi and all, that, you know, Ram Mandir, they destroyed that and put a mosque there. So that was the first thing. So systematically they destroyed, because they wanted to destroy the Hindu culture. So they destroyed the temples. Same thing the Spanish, when they went to South America, if you read the history of Mexico and South America, That's exactly what they did. They just basically destroyed their temples, they burned their books, and killed all the priests. And that's how the Spanish imposed their religion on them. You know, they made them all Catholic, just converted them, not by peace, but by violence, by basically killing them, destroying their temples, killing the priests, destroying their books, and their whole culture was wiped out, whatever the actual ethnic culture of the Incas and all that was. So that's how these people imposed their will upon it. So in the North India, the temples were all destroyed. Now in the South, the temples survived. Why? Because the Muslims couldn't come to the South. They were the Vindhyachal Mountains. And then they met resistance first from Rana Pratap and then from Lakshmi Bai Jhansi and then afterwards Shivaji. So facing all those brave warriors, they were not able to go south. And so they stopped. So in the South, the temples are the where the religion is practiced. Religion is practiced in the temples. But in the North, because the temples were destroyed, it was the sadhus. It was the Mahatmas, the saints, the wise people who preserved the religion. So the religion in the North was preserved by these saints who remembered the scriptures, who chanted, who taught us, and who passed on the knowledge. So that's why in the North, the sadhus are more respected, while in the South, the religion is practiced more in the temples. So that's the difference between the North and the South. That's why Krishna says, sadhu bhave. So sadhus represent saints, represent goodness. Sat ityetyat prajyutyate. And then sat also represents auspiciousness. So all auspicious activities, before you start any auspicious, that's why, you know, pandits, when they are chanting, they say Om Tat Sat. Even we had heard before also, you know, Karmani, in Brahmana Ved Yajna Vihitapura. So before starting any activity, the pandit chants Om Tat Sat. So any auspicious activity when you're starting a new business or starting a factory, or before you do any auspicious ceremonies like thread ceremony or marriage, any auspicious activity, some people might disagree with me that marriage was not very auspicious for them. But anyway, any auspicious activity that you're doing, a thread ceremony, any, you know, when a naming Namkaran, when a child is born, see in India, they don't just name a child John or Bill or whatever. They, you know, the pandit will give you a letter and you should, your child's name should start with A or K or whatever. And then you have to think of the name based on their, you know, their kundali, based on the time of birth and all that. And then the naming ceremony is a special occasion when people are invited and they celebrate and all. So that's what they are saying, that Sat represents existence, isness, represents the touch of divinity. That is there in everything. And that's why everything is divine. One, everything can be a form of goal of worship. That's why in Hindus, they worship the cow, they worship the trees, they worship the mountain, they worship the river. Why? Because everything is the Lord. And we take from all of them. We take from the river, we take from the trees, we take from the cows, we take from the mountains. So all of these that is giving us, so they are all God. And that is the idea that one should, that's why one should respect the environment. One should, even the inanimate objects, even your shoes are an object of worship because they have carried us. You know, otherwise when my feet would hurt if I didn't have shoes carrying me. So the idea is that the Lord should be seen in everything. And that's why when God is everywhere, that's why even my house, God is in my house. So I should see that as a temple of the Lord. Even my body, the Lord resides. So this body also should be, worship means should be taken care of, you know, properly. Not that you should overindulge your body, but the Lord resides and the human birth is for that purpose. So constantly seeing the Lord everywhere, and then especially in saintly people, and also before you start anything auspicious, always remember the Lord. As I have said before, you get up in the morning and chant the Lord's name in bed before you get up. Make that a habit, because that then starts your, of course, afterwards, after bath, you can go into your prayer room and, you know, pray for a while and all, but start every activity chanting the name of the Lord. So that is auspicious, that is Shivam. So that is the Om Tat Sat. Any questions or comments about either of those two topics today?
7 billion people on the Lord when it started. There were not even only 1 or 2 people, right? So there are all the mass that has come in.
Mass was always there. All we have done is killed other organism and taken their place. All the dinosaurs have been destroyed, and then we have killed all the animals and the forests. And so the total, and again, he has infinite resources, so he can create whatever.
But the point is, there is some creation.
No, there is, of course, creation, because there was nothing. See, first nothing was. God alone was. And then he created the 5 elements. In fact, if you read Tattva Bodh, not Atma Bodh, we have just finished, but Tattva Bodh, if you read, they talk about how creation happened, how the creator. So yeah, there is a creation. But what I'm saying is, once it is created, you and I cannot destroy it. Only the Lord can create or destroy.
But every day there's an addition of human beings.
Right.
So is it not an increase in the mass? How can you say mass cannot be created or destroyed?
No, you and I cannot create. He can create.
Yeah,
the creator can create.
But as we see on the planet Earth,
right,
there's more mass today than before.
Yeah, possibly.
But
everything has come from the earth. Nothing is.
Yeah, but all that is taking some food.
Right.
That was eaten. That food is getting converted into body.
But more food is also grown.
But that is taking the nutrients that were existing.
In the earth, he's right. You're not.
There are nutrients. There is water. There is oxygen, nitrogen. That is all there. It's just all getting converted from one form to another.
Absolutely.
But if that is the truth.
The carbon, hydrogen, and all.
Right. But the amount of air since creation has not changed, right?
There are creating any things we don't know. I mean, there are so many things. And the main thing is, even if we know that, we will have more questions and more questions and more questions.
At the highest level, actually, you should think there is no creation.
Yeah.
There is no creation. Brahman alone is. The creation is just a play.
Projection.
It's a projection. It's a mayavi. It's a magician who has done all this. Why we get so caught up? Actually, my idea is that you should turn to the source. We get so caught in this, why is this happening? Why is that? It's not happening. It's just a play. It's just a joke. Take the world as a joke. Take it lightly. Do your duty and you are here to realize. Just think of that. That is my only purpose. Otherwise, we get very caught up in these questions and answers. But go to the essence. The idea is that go to Om Tat Sat. Not to BMI, not to OET, not to PFT.
But our brain is not powerful enough to understand those things.
Right.
That's why you had to say limited concept.
Yes.
Right.
Limited in the planet or not elsewhere.
The best answer is, pehle aap pehchano re sadho, pehle aap pehchano. Know yourself. Why do you want to know everything else in the world? Know who you are. And that is all you need to know. Who am I?
What we are learning can help us not come back in the body and go back to the main source. That would be interesting.
Actually, there is no gap because your mind intellect is still active. The only gap comes when you quieten your mind in meditation, when your mind becomes still. That is the gap that one should aim for, in between the breaths and all. When the mind is quiet, when the mind is still, because then even the jiva is still active. He might be in heaven or he may be in hell. He may be enjoying or suffering or going through. So the silence only comes when you are in contact with Om. And so that's why they say chant Om and remember the Lord. And one more question.
Yes. Growing. And so there's just, like you were saying, there's things that we don't know.
Right. Actually, our rishis 8,000 years ago predicted things that are going to happen right now. Because they were in touch with that total reality. So that is the whole purpose of learning, is to go beyond this world of objects and come in touch with your true self. That is the only purpose of studying this. And of course, how to deal with people. Gita helps me in that. How to deal with the world, and then ultimately how to become one with God. And so that is the essence of Gita. That's why it says, Advaita Amrita Darshini. You know, it says in the, when we do the Gita Dhyanam, that it is teaching us Advaita, that there is only one. God and I are not separate. God alone is everything. That is the Advaita. That understanding one has to get.
It's still there. The one is still there and it's not destroyed. It just split into several ways. Can you see like that?
Yes. Yeah, but again, the creation is not, it's a change, it is an evolution. It is nothing new is being created. Not by us. Originally, the creator did. That's why Brahmaji or whatever you want to call, there was nothing was there, just silence. And this whole universe was created out of nothingness. But it is created as a illusion, as a maya. That's why they say Jagat Maya hai. So think of this as an illusion. Don't give it too much importance. And that is what I have understood, that there's only one thing important, and that is knowing who I am and who I really am. And that alone is important. And all of this helps us. That's why Krishna at the end of the 17th chapter is taking us inward. He says, don't get caught up in sattva, rajas, tamas. That's good. You know, do sattvic activities. But that's why they say, no, whether you're a good rat or a bad rat, you are still a rat. You may be a good rat or you may be a bad rat, but you have to get out of the rat race. And as long as you are in this world, you are in the rat race. So become a Mahatma, become a saint, and then only you can get out of this. That's why he says Sadhu Bhave. The saints are important, and that's why we should worship them, because they are the ones who preserved our culture all these thousands of years. This I heard from Swami Shantanandaji's commentary on the 17th chapter, and I was reading. I said, how true, you know, it's such a beautiful understanding of why sadhus should be respected. We say, oh, you know, no, they are the ones who have preserved our culture, our, you know, values. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhagavet. Om Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah. Harihi Om.